Father, I thank you, Lord, again. Accept our worship, Lord. Receive our worship and receive our praise. For thou alone art worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. You are worthy to receive all the glory. You deserve it all. All the glory, all the honor, all the power, all the majesty. For thine is the kingdom, O Lord. The power, the dominion, the excellency, the majesty, it's all thine. Everything that's in the heaven and the earth thou hast made by thy outstretched arm. You are upholding everything, and we give you the praise and glory. Today, as we are gathered together around the word of God, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Now let that light shine into our hearts this morning, revealing the glory of God, even in the face of Jesus Christ and the mercy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be thy name, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Today is part two of the riches of the glory of God and his mercy. Praise the Lord. So that's where we are today. That's what we are sharing. And God bless everybody as you listen. Praise the Lord. Yesterday we talked about the riches of God's glory and how we connect the dots with his mercy. Praise the Lord. The glory of God revealed in his mercy. That's one aspect. Another aspect is the beauty of holiness. Praise God. I want to do part two today of the mercy of the Lord, you know, which is a part of his glory towards us. Remember, Moses asked to see his glory, but in answer, God declared his mercy. He declared the abundance goodness, and he said, I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So we went in that direction yesterday, and we saw even how God, when he instructed Moses to put together, you know, according to the vision that was showed him in the mount, you know, the symbolism of the temple and, you know, the various compartments in it, and even in the holy place, all of that stuff, the ark and the cherubims and everything, instructed him to put the mercy seat above the ark. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And he said, I myself will commune with you from above the mercy seat, which is above the ark. Praise the Lord. So we see how great his mercy. God elevated his mercy even above the ark of his presence. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that's his glory right there. It's revealed in his mercy. Well, let's take a look at what else the scriptures have to tell us and why, you know, about the mercies of God. Why is it so important, you know, that we do this? Well, because that's an aspect that can actually elevate your faith. Glory to God. You know, I love to teach on, you know, faith and things like that, how people can get more from the Lord. And this is it right here. You cannot get any higher, you know, than the mercy of the Lord. Because he put it right above the ark. You know, so if you can understand, you know, how to use that mercy to your advantage, my goodness, you can get anything you want from the Lord. Even when your faith is not working just right, you can latch on and that mercy can kick in. And my goodness, I've got testimonies around the mercy of the Lord, you know. So today, let's take a look, a closer look at the mercy of the Lord. There's one man in the Bible that understood that more than anybody else. David, of course, he wrote about the mercy of the Lord more than anybody else in that Bible. And he understood it and he wrote about it and he experienced it multiple times and he wrote about it himself. And he would say things like, you know, I cried on the Lord, the mercy of God, and so on. I mean, he was always talking about the mercy of God, you know, and we'll get to that in a bit. But I want to start out here. My lead scripture today is going to be Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 10. And this is the one that we want to focus on a little bit. This is God's promise. And it's so powerful the way that the Lord said it. You know, that, well, even the mountains, which we know, usually they're solid, they can't go anywhere. Yeah. Just like Psalm 125 says, you know, the people of the Lord, you know, are like Mount Zion that cannot be removed. Mountains, generally speaking, are very solid. They cannot be moved most of the time, you know, but the Lord said, well, even though the mountains that cannot be removed are removed, you know, even though the hills depart and so forth. Let's hear what he says. Isaiah 54 verse 10. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. That's right. That's his signature right there. And he puts that signature on there. And sometimes he will say, you know, I am the Lord when he says something. But this time around, he said, well, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. And I love that mercy signature. You know, we in business, on my job and so forth, you know, we're required to create a signature block for our emails and so on. And the job, they give us, you know, some thing to put out there, you know, which they want, you know, uniformity. You want everybody to put that on their signature block and so forth. I love this signature block for the Lord that hath mercy on thee. And that's how he signed this letter to you. And what did he say? He said, well, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Glory to God. Neither shall my covenant, the covenant of my peace, be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, just meditate on that for a minute. The mercy of the Lord. Glory to God. The mercy of the Lord. The mercy of the Lord. We read a piece in, you know, Romans chapter 9 yesterday. And I want to reinforce something else in there. The mercy of the Lord comes to us and is revealed to us in multiple ways. You know, Lamentation says in 3:22, it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. But beyond not being consumed, we know it's the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. But, you know, the purpose of our life, I mean, we can find more and greater purpose for our lives when we understand his mercy. It is his mercy, it is his prerogative, it is his choosing to say, you know, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. You can't do anything about it. That's what he says. If you don't like it, I say people don't like the way God does things, well, you can move to another universe. But in this universe, our God is the king and his word is everything. And the honor of his name, the glory of his name given to us in his mercy. But we are vessels of mercy. Now, if you happen to be one of those people upon whom the Lord said, I will have mercy, on whom I have mercy, then you will understand what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. You know, we talked yesterday about the woman who understood it. Seven demons, different things cast out of her and so forth. She had some crazy stuff going on. You know, but when she saw Jesus, glory to God, she knew that, the mercy of God in her life was great. She came to Jesus. She bowed at his feet and, was just crying, or cries of appreciation. And her tears, as her tears began to fall on his feet, Jesus was looking at her. Jesus was looking at her heart and she was wiping. She had this long flowing hair, you know, and she was wiping his feet. Who does that? I mean, wiping his feet with her hair, washing his feet with her tears. My goodness. And of course, the religious folks, they looked at her and said, this man, if he were a prophet, know that this woman was a sinner. As if Jesus didn't know. Jesus said, let her alone. Because whosoever is forgiven little will love little. But he that is forgiven a whole lot will love a whole lot. This woman has been forgiven a great deal. And that's why she's pouring out her love. Well, that teaches us something. You can catch the revelation. You know, what is the expression of your love toward the Lord? Well, maybe because you are not forgiven of very much. That's why you don't, you know, pour out your love too much. But if your life was going nowhere, your life was in darkness, and your life was upside down, was all in pieces. I mean, if you hated the Lord and you did the things that were contrary to wholesomeness and everything, and then the Lord, he handpicked you and pulled you out. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And the loved on you and set your feet on the right path and you will love him a lot. I mean, if his grace had been extended to you like the woman caught in the middle of adultery, which according to the law of Moses, which John said in John chapter 1 and verse 17, the law came by Moses. And Moses was a lawman. He put down the axe. You do this, you'll be stoned to death. That's it. And this woman was to be stoned to death under the law of Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. Grace and mercy from the Lord. When you are condemned. Redemption. When all seems far too late. The thief on the cross. You know, was already condemned. There was no turning back for him. He was going straight to hell. He'd done all those things that they accused him of. With his own mouth. He admitted. You know, guilty as charged. Yet the mercy of the Lord. Today. You will be on with me in paradise. But. What was the thing? Well, the man cried out for the Lord's mercy. Have mercy upon me, he said. Remember me. Praise God. Now, crying out for God's mercy, I want to talk about that for a little bit. There is something to it. You know, and we don't do it enough. See, we don't do it enough. Sometimes we struggle. We're trying to get it. Either get it by our faith and so on, which is good. I mean, if you have your faith, you don't need to struggle, you know, but, you know, sometimes we struggle and it's not working. I encourage you, let's kick it into another gear and rest in his love and depend upon his mercy and cry out for that mercy. Praise God. Well, let's share some stories in the Bible, you know, of the mercy of the Lord and how Jesus responded every time that somebody called upon him for mercy. Now, it's one thing I tell people that God cannot, you know, deny. It's a cry for mercy. You know, I don't care where you've been, what you've done, whatever. You know, because that's his very nature, the mercy of the Lord. The first thing out of his mouth to Moses when he asked to see God's glory, well, God said, well, I am the Lord God, merciful. Hallelujah. Gracious, abundant in goodness and truth, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and so forth, showing mercy to thousands. That's he. That's who he is. That's what he does. The highest attribute of the Lord is his mercy. And so we see a few stories here in the Bible of how Jesus himself also came and demonstrated, you know, that mercy unto us. Praise the Lord. Jesus told one time a story, you know, of a situation where there were two people that went to prayer in Luke chapter 18. The Pharisee and the so-called publican, tax collector, and so forth. You know, and the one who bragged about all his goodness and his righteous works, or righteousness, self-righteousness, that is. And this man, the publican, in Luke chapter 18 and verse 13, standing afar off, would not even so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. And that kind of prayer gets God's attention. And I said, Jesus said, I tell you, this man, this so-called sinner, he went home justified. Glory to God. That's acquitted. Released. Because he called upon the mercy of the Lord. That's it. Right there. That mercy of the Lord is a trigger to God's goodness and the abundance of his grace. When you call upon that mercy, you know, there is no stopping God now. If you know how to call upon God's mercy, I can try it. You know, use your faith all the time. But when that faith is not working or not working quickly enough, turn to the mercy of the Lord. You'll see something that you probably haven't seen before. Praise God. In this same chapter of Luke 18, you go down to about verse 38. There's another lesson there, you know, for us to learn and see. You know, there was a story, and I want to read it from about verse 35. It came to pass, as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what he meant. He was blind, couldn't see, but he was hearing all the, you know, the noise and everything. And they told him, they said that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he cried out, Thou son of David, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I'm going to talk about that son of David in a minute. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried out there so much more, you know, and thou son of David, he said, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when the man was come near, he said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the man said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Now this man, you know, I'm sure, probably has been looking for how to receive his sight all this time. Maybe praying, maybe going to doctors, maybe whatever. We don't know all he did. But there was one day that he reached out and called for the mercy of the Lord. That changed everything. That changed everything. And even the people that were trying to shut him up, this man wouldn't shut up. He called for the mercy of the Lord. And the Lord, of course, he said, receive thy sight, thy faith. Now, it was his faith, but faith in what? Faith in the mercy of the Lord. That's it. You know, it wasn't faith in the power that Jesus could heal. This story was not about the power of Jesus to heal, but faith in the mercy of the Lord. And he has a trigger that he's going to use called the Son of David. Why in the world would you call him son of David? And they told him Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. They didn't say Jesus the son of David is passing by. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. This man, there was something inside of him. And I call it the sure mercies of David. You know, I can stick a whole lesson just to talk about that. You know, the sure mercies of David. And talk, you know, take a whole lesson to talk about it, you know. But let me just read to you some of the things quickly that the Lord said about this thing that we call the Shomaises of the Day, which most people don't even understand what it means. Well, in the book of Isaiah chapter 55, let's take a look at something that the Lord said, which later on, even in the Acts of the Apostles, you know, Holy Spirit would refer to it again. But let's take a look. In Isaiah chapter 55, here's what God had to say. Praise the Lord. About, of course, what we're talking about here, the Shomaises of David. Incline your ear and come unto me, the Lord said. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Now, he called it everlasting. That means it's never going away. So that means it was there to yesterday, it's there today, it'll be there tomorrow. The sure mercies of David, he said. The sure mercies of David. Nobody ever understood it. He said, well, I've given him a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. But the Lord says, look, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. Jeremiah 29:11. What are those thoughts? Well, he called it, Jeremiah called it, well, thoughts of peace and goodness and so forth, and not of evil to give you an expected end. Well, Isaiah calls it the sure mercies of David. Same thing. But he says it's everlasting. He said, look, mountains can be removed. This is, you know, each prophet had their way of describing the attributes of a God that they understood, and God showed it. Isaiah's thing was the mercy of the Lord, a covenant of mercy. Talked about it here. Talked about it in the previous verse, chapter that we read, you know, chapter 54, verse 10. Talked about a covenant of peace, covenant of mercy, an everlasting covenant, the sure mercies of David will be with you forever. Mountains may be removed, but my mercy will stay with you forever. And so, you know, even in the book of Acts, let's read in Acts chapter 13, reference to this so-called sure mercies of David. And why this man calling upon the Lord and asking him for mercy and challenging him that, remember, you are the son of David. Let's take a look at it. In the book of Acts chapter 13, you know, the background to this story was Paul, you know, and one of his partners being sent by the Holy Spirit out, Barnabas, you know, and so forth, to preach the gospel. So they went out. And Paul went out on this thing they called, you know, one of his first trips. You know, but during that trip, he ran into many things. And, he started to tell the people, you know, the way they preach in those days, powerful stuff, you know. They would try to mightily convince the people about the scriptures. And Paul, you know, was also mightily convincing the people about the scriptures. And he said, verse 34 is where I'm going, you know, but let me read just for a little context. I'll read it from verse 32. We declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise was made unto the fathers. You know, they used to appeal to these Jews, their connection to the patriarchs, and to remember that God spoke to them. God gave promise to them. You are children of the patriarchs, you know, so the same promise comes to you. God, you know, cares about you. And so, well, the promise which God made to the fathers, he says, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he has raised up again Jesus. He was trying to prove that Jesus, you know, was of the lineage of Abraham and so on and so forth. And, you know, not only that, God raised him from the dead, you know. And he said, look, even the psalmist spoke about him. He said, look, this day have I begotten thee. And he said, well, concerning the fact that he raised him up, because they had an uphill battle back then to convince people that God actually raised Jesus from the dead. He said, well, concerning the fact that he raised him from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. What in the world has thou to do, has that to do with raising him from the dead? You know, well, the sure mercies of David, that David's, that covenant, it's a covenant that God made. Sometimes he makes this covenant, you know, doesn't ask anybody to do anything. He just puts it out there. This is one of them. And he also chose David's throne to be an everlasting David throne. And the mercies of God are written on that throne. The mercies of David. I gave David my mercies. I chose him. I made him a commander among the people. Psalm 89 talked about the selection. I mean, gave David, you know, talked about the selection, you know, that God made. And as long as the stars, heaven remain in place and so forth, the Lord said, the throne will remain before me. And he put a covenant out there around this mercy called the sure mercies of David. The foundation of that throne, the throne of David, is the mercy of the Lord. And so when this all ties back to this man asking Jesus about the sure mercies of David in a roundabout way, by telling him the son of, calling him the son of David, son of David, extend some of that mercy to me, because you have received the sure mercies of David. And you know, any time that people called upon the mercy of the Lord like that, there's another place in the scriptures where the story is even a little more dramatic. You know, let's read Mark chapter 10. I'm going to read from verse 46. You know, some of these stories are the same, but reported in different ways, you know, by the writers. In Mark chapter 10, let's read this account of how Mark writes about this story. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, this is Mark chapter 10, verse 46, there's a great number of people, and blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and to say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Same story. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried out a great deal more, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Same story. But this is the one I want to underscore. Jesus was going somewhere. There was a lot of people. This is what I want to underscore in this particular story. The fact that this man's cry for mercy stopped Jesus right on his tracks. He said, and Jesus stood still amidst all the crowd. And he had his eyes set on the place where he was going. And everybody around him, crying, shaking, doing whatever, you know, shouting out noise. This man's cry for mercy stopped Jesus right there. He said he stood still amidst all the noise. He heard something. Something that touched a trigger. It was about the mercy of the Lord. I guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, if you know how to call upon the mercy of the Lord, that's a prayer that God can never repeat, never turn away from. I call on the mercy of the Lord. Jesus stopped commanded him to be called. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, when you call out to the Lord for his mercy, the Lord will stop. He'll command you to be called. My command the angels, hey, make way. I want to hear what he's asking. What is it that you want me to do? The mercy of the Lord gets you that kind of attention. It's now, you know, everybody was trying to shut him up, but now he's before Jesus. Jesus said, call him, bring him. And he's now standing before the king. And the king says, well, what do you want? Hallelujah. Now, how do you get the audience, number one, with him to the point where he can say, what do you want? You know, he got it by calling on the mercy of the Lord. Powerful stuff. And of course, Jesus called it faith. But faith in what? That's what I'm saying now. Faith in the mercy of the Lord. Faith in the ability of God to extend mercy to you. And in his declaration that his mercy will be upon them that fear the Lord. That's it. You know, so even if things are not working, or praying for something for a long time is not working, well, let's turn to the mercy of the Lord. Glory to God. I guarantee you that will bring the answer quicker than anything else, you know. David was a man, he knew how to call for the mercy of the Lord. In fact, one time, you know, I mean, we know the stories of David, some of the evil that he committed and so forth. In Psalm 51 is one place, one psalm of contrition where I was calling upon the name of the Lord and asking for God's mercy. You know, you can read the whole psalm, but I'm not going to read all of it. But let's read the first 3 or 4 verses of that psalm. And see how he called on the mercy of the Lord. And the mercy of the Lord is not only for forgiveness. It's majorly for that. Because, you know, that's what makes a way for us to be in right standing with God. But, you know, anything else. This man wasn't asking for forgiveness of sins. This blind man was just asking to receive his sight. And it was the mercy of the Lord that got it for him. So whether it's forgiveness of sins or whatever. Have mercy upon me, O God. Psalm 51 verse 1. According to thy loving kindness. That's right. Now, these people, when they pray like this, they know what they are saying. Because this is what God himself said. You know, abundant in goodness and mercy and so forth. And they latch onto it. Just like Moses yesterday kept on latching. We read it. To the fact that you said that I found favor in your sight. And you said, you know me by name. Now, if therefore I found favor in your sight, you know, and so on. And then he began to ask this, and he said it multiple times in that exchange. According unto the multitude of your tender mercies, O Lord, blot out my transgressions. This was in this particular case, praying for forgiveness. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me of my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. You know, and he began to pray. Of course, you know, the one sin, there are a couple of things that David did in his life that displeased the Lord. This one here was one of them. Where his wanton eyes and wantonness in his eyes couldn't keep his eyes off of a woman that he saw, and how he plotted not only to have her, but have her husband killed so that he could have her to himself. I mean, my goodness. Anyway, you know the story. The Lord dealt with him and praying about it. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Well, and he began to pray and ask for God's mercy. Well, he did receive God's mercy. Yesterday, we also heard about the story of when, you know, against better judgment, against the word of the Lord has said the children of Israel will be as the sands of the sea. You can't number them. He chose to number them. And you saw how God dealt with him. And when gave him, and God gave him three choices. Well, I can have this pestilence. I can have you fall into the hands of your enemies. All of these things. You know, he chose the one that knew that he knew he might have a chance. You know, that, well, when the Lord is doing this thing, I might have a chance and call upon his mercy. And the Lord, you know, might actually, because he's a merciful God, say, well, you know, I don't want to fall into the hands of my enemies, you know, but give me a chance. You know, I know that the Lord is merciful. And when the Lord gave him those choices, he picked the one that he thought would give God, he will have mercy upon him. Thus said the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 24. The Lord told him. And verse 12. I will give you three choices. You know, God gave him three choices. There was an interesting drama and lesson even in this to learn. But, you know, let me focus on this element of God's mercy. You know, I'm going to offer you three things, he said. You choose one of them. I'm going to do it to you. And the man came into him. I'm going to give you 7 years of famine. Come into thy land and destroy everything. Or I'm going to put you into the hands of your enemies for 3 months. You will flee. They will pummel you. You know, and so forth. And you'll be running for your life, and they'll be pursuing you. Or I'm going to spend 3 days pestilence in your land. Well, now choose, the Lord said. And David considered the thing. He knew he couldn't get out of it. You can't talk your way into this one now, out of this one. I'm in a great strait, he said. But let me now fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. Now, this is a man that understood that he screwed up big time. The anger of the Lord stirred up against him. But let me just fall into the hands of the Lord, he said, because his mercies are great. I'll take it if I'm in his hands. I won't take it from my enemies or anything else, but in the hands of the Lord, his mercies are great. You know, and well, the Lord began to send pestilence and began to destroy. David cried unto the Lord when he saw that the angel was smiting through the land of pestilence, called upon that mercy again. He said, look, I'm the one that sinned. Why are you taking it out on these people? Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is what sin can do. You know, it's not the impact, the consequences to our actions, ladies and gentlemen. You know, consequences. Sometimes the consequence to our action is not only upon you, and be upon a lot of people. I mean, we see it here in David. We saw Achan, the man who, you know, put his hand onto the, you know, accursed thing. How one man's action brought evil upon the camp. You know, David's action, one man, brought evil. Even though his lieutenants, chief of army staff and everything, they want, don't do this thing. He did it anyway. And one man's action brought a lot of grief upon a lot of people. And that's what can happen. It's consequences. Action that may be beyond what you think. You know, so let's think carefully. That's by the way. But nevertheless, he called on the mercy of the Lord. And the Lord granted him mercy. Well, the Lord repented him of the evil. Because this man called upon the mercy of the Lord. Now, anytime that people can do that, get a hold of the mercy of the Lord, call upon his mercy, it's always something very special to see. Let's read some of the other places where, there's so many places where David said, have mercy upon me, and so on and so forth. I'm just going to read a few. And then we're going to read a psalm where it's talking about the mercy of the Lord. In the book of Psalm 86, I want to read three verses there. I mean, over 12 or 15 places where David wrote things like this in the Psalms. But let me just read a few of this to us. The way that he called upon the mercy of the Lord. And he knew how to do it. Jesus even, you know, talked about David one time. He said, look, if you only knew what this saying means, I will have mercy upon whom I have mercy. And he was talking about David. He said, have you not heard what David did when he went to the house of God? I mean, how he took bread that was not lawful for him to eat, but for the priest only, and not only that, he gave it to them that were with him, and they ate as well. Have you not read that? When they told him, you can't do these things. People shouldn't do these things on the Sabbath day. And so, well, then Jesus dropped this thing here. If you only knew. Knew what? I mean, what are we talking about? Why are you talking about that? If you only knew what this saying means, that I will have mercy on whom I am. David understood it. And it was the understanding of the mercy of the Lord that gave him the faith to pierce the veil that time and take what did not belong to him at the time. You know? And he took it. And Jesus is even telling a testimony about it here. Have mercy upon me, David would say in Psalm 86 and verse 3. O Lord, for I cry daily unto thee. It would say, rejoice the soul of thy servant, for O Lord, unto thee do I lift up my soul. Thou art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. When you call upon him and ask for that mercy, he cannot turn his back. He can't do it, upon that cry for mercy. Listen to verse 15 of the same verse. Over and over again, in many places, the psalmist, he would say things like this. But thou, O Lord, art a God of full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Turn unto me, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Now, when you begin to tell the Lord that, remember, Lord, basically, you are a God that have mercy. That's what you said. Isaiah 54 verse 10. Saith the Lord that had mercy on thee. That was his signature to that promise. And then you take that and remind the Lord of it. You are the God that had mercy upon me. When you begin to pray like that, the Lord is going to respond in kind, quicker. He has a secret to help you get that which you have been looking for, for a long time. O thou afflicted. This is what led, this is saying of the mercy. Thou, the Lord that had mercy of thee, is what led to this next statement. I'm going back to Isaiah 54, verse 10. Right after that, in verse 11, he says, O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted. Well, the Lord is going to bring comfort now through his mercies. Look at all the things he says, including laying thy foundations with sapphires. My goodness. Making your windows of agates, your gates of carbuncles, borders of pleasant stones. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy. All of this is carried out in his covenant of peace. All of this is included. It's a package. He signed it with that signature. The Lord that hath mercy on thee. That's how he signed it. In righteousness shall thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. For thou shalt not fear, and from terror For it shall not come near thee, saith the Lord that had mercy on thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake, saith the Lord that had mercy upon thee. That's right. And then he goes on to say, look, no weapon that is formed against thee. And all of these things were triggered by the Lord that had, it was a covenant that he was making. This is the covenant I make with you. And here are all these things in that covenant. Read it again for yourself. So all the things are in that covenant I'm making with you. You know, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn, saith the Lord that had mercy on thee. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. All these things tied to that covenant that he spoke about in verse 10. The rest of the chapter called out all these things. And he signified, signed, sealed, signified, and delivered by the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Isn't that beautiful? You know, that is the essence of the mercy of the Lord. There's another aspect about his glory that I will talk about by the grace of God perhaps tomorrow. But today I want to just focus on this glory. This is an element, an aspect of his glory. The glory of God revealed in his mercies. Moses asked to see the glory. God talked about his mercy. That tells you where the glory of God is at. Praise the Lord. Now, let's read the Psalm. Beautiful psalm. There is none like this psalm. In fact, there is no writing anywhere like this particular psalm. I've not seen it. I read a lot of books, read a lot of chapters in the Bible, read a lot of things, but I've never seen anything quite like this. How that, you know, and this is Psalm 136. How that every sentence, every phrase is punctuated by the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. I don't know what David was thinking, you know, but there was something that the Lord was showing him. He couldn't even write what he wanted to write as a straight writing. He had to punctuate everything, every single thing, with the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. And you know, back in the day, David, Solomon, the rest of them, even Jehoshaphat, all of them, the way, if they wanted to bless the Lord, you know, one of their ways of really blessing the Lord was to say the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. And that's all, you know, that's all they had to say. They just say the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. You know, and when they said that, it captured everything about the essence of God. Just in that one sentence or phrase, they would capture all, you know, of the essence of God. When God made promise to Jehoshaphat about the battle against the three countries, Mount Seir, Moab, and Ammon, and so forth, that came up against him in 1 Chronicles 20. When the Lord did all of that, well, the thing that they were doing that got him the victory, this song they were chanting, you might call it their mantra for the day, all they were saying is, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. That's all they were saying. You know, and when Jehoshaphat had consulted with the people, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21. He appointed singers unto the Lord. This was the song. You know, singers that should say, that should praise the beauty of holiness. Put them out in front of the army And here's what they should say. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. That's all they had to say to win the battle. The mercy of the Lord, he can crack mountains, he can torpedo armies, he can do everything. The mercy of the Lord. He said, well, that's all they said. And, you know, sometimes the people will say, well, now rise and praise the Lord your God. And they would say that. And when they said such things like that, the people would begin to say, well, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. You know, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And every time that they said that and called upon the mercy of the Lord, it was amazing how God would respond. David knew it. Solomon knew it. Jehoshaphat knew it. I mean, they all understood how to do these things. Call upon the name of the Lord and his mercy. And just say, well, the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. I want us to, you know, practice doing that. Add that to your mercy. I mean, to your prayers or worship or how you come to God. Today, when you say praise the Lord, every people will say, you know, the Lord is good. You know, praise the Lord is good. Well, no, that's not complete. The Bible say, they say, the Lord is good. And, you know, I don't even know how they say, praise the Lord, you know, the Lord is good, the Lord is good, you know, and so forth. And so all the time, the Lord is good. Praise the Lord is good. All the time, the Lord is good. That's what they say. But they leave out the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. And sometimes I go into places where they say that, praise the Lord is good. All the time, the Lord is good. Praise the Lord is good. All the time, the Lord is good. And I'm like, where is the saying of the mercy of the Lord endureth forever? They always leave that out. Go into these Pentecostal assemblies. They say it all the time. But they always leave out the most important part, which is the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. Now, this is something that David would never leave out. He would say it. In fact, he said it more than anybody else in that place of Psalm 136. He said it over and over and over and over again. And if you take out the phrase, the Lord, I mean, his mercy of the Lord endureth forever and so on, that psalm becomes very short. But when you put the, you know, all the things that he was saying, punctuate them like he did, well, the thing becomes actually very great. Praise the Lord. And it was, you know, and we're going to read that psalm. I'm going to read a psalm to us in closing out this, you know, this lesson today. But I want us to consider this. Next time you say, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. I mean, the Lord is good all the time the Lord is good. You know, all that kind of stuff that people say. Next time you say it, add to it, for his mercy endureth forever. But that's how they did it in the Bible. Don't leave that part out, because that's the highest attribute, you know, of the Lord's goodness. You know, this the Lord is good thing that we say. Well, the reason he's good is because of his mercy that endureth forever. You know, and so we must never leave that part out. And so when David was writing this psalm, he would punctuate, you know, this with the, for his mercy endureth forever. He would just punctuate everything. Now, let's try to pray a prayer like that and see how hard it will be for you to say a prayer of 5 minutes and every phrase you punctuate it with, for his mercy endureth forever. It's very hard to do. But David did it, you know, and because he understood. And this man, David, is the epitome. I mean, he's the symbol of God's mercy. In fact, God called it the sure mercies of David. So David's showing you how to do it. And let's learn from him. And learn from David how to do it. Now, the people that's going to be around David's throne, I guarantee you, and that's where Jesus will be sitting. Those that will be around David's throne, they're going to know how to say this thing. But that's what David's going to make them do. You know, so let's get some practice about the mercy of the Lord. There are so many advantages to it. The mercy of the Lord endures forever. Okay, let me read the psalm. I'm going to close this out with that. Psalm 136, powerful psalm that David was using to praise the Lord for all the things that he has done. But he did it in an absolutely unique way. There's no other writing like that. And here's what he said. Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. You know, instead of saying all the time and so forth, just like that. Add, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. Why? For his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. See how many times he's going to say his mercy endureth forever before we get through the end of this? To him alone who doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. In short, this psalm is telling you that everything that God is doing, whether he's creating something, whether he's blessing his people, whether he's judging the wicked, whatever he's doing, it is because his mercy endureth forever. Isn't that amazing? You know, who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth. I mean, everything that God does, just praise him for it, because his mercy endureth forever. The one that created the sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him we divided this Red Sea into parts and caused, you know, the waters to pile up on the sea. He said, look, for his mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. I mean, you can see how he goes on and on and on. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. And slew even famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. And who had redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. So the Lord who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Isn't that beautiful? Have you ever read anything like this? You know, somebody to write anything and punctuate every phrase with the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. That's how great the mercy of the Lord is. You know, I want us to ponder on it. We're going to close in a minute, but the Lord just reminded me to read one more thing here out of Psalm 103. Let's read about the Lord's goodness. Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth. Now, if you can measure it, that height, well, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. And as the east is far from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And as a father pitieth his children, so doth the Lord pity, have compassion, and have mercy on them that fear him. Praise the Lord. You know, this is the goodness and the mercy of God. And we want to understand it. Show me thy way, Lord, that I may know thee. Show me what's behind the mercy of the Lord, that I may know thee. If you can understand it, and the Lord himself, you know, he declared it by himself, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. May the Lord give us an understanding heart. The throne of grace is his mercy seat. Praise God. And we are told, come boldly, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Well, now that you know how great his mercy is, well, what's keeping you from coming to him and crying for his mercy like these stories that we have read? Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And somebody who doesn't know what we're going through, somebody who doesn't understand what we're going through, that's not Jesus. He understood it because he was in all points tempted as we are, but without sin. Because of all of that, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. That's his mercy seat. So it's his throne of grace. That's where he sits. So on that throne, he's a king. He sits on the throne of grace. It's called the mercy seat. That's where he's at, that we may obtain mercy. Come boldly. Ask him boldly. We're going to pray in the room here in just a minute. And I want you to use this mercy of the Lord endure forever for your prayer today. And this is the same prayer you have been praying, trying to use your faith and everything. And most of the time it works. And sometimes there's a delay. Well, no more delay when you know how to latch on to the mercy of the Lord. Let us come boldly that we may obtain mercy. Find grace to help in the time of need. I'm going to pray with you right now. Anything that's in your heart, especially the things that have lingered for a long time, well, do something different today. Well, tell him about the mercy and his mercy that endureth forever. Just like David did. Just like these people that cried to him. Thou son of David, remember the sure mercies of David unto me. Have mercy upon me. And Jesus stopped in his tracks. You can't do it. You can't, you know, he cannot pass by. You know, he just can't, you know, he has that cry for mercy. It's going to stop. Stop whatever he was doing. Check it out. I'm going to check out that cry of mercy. What would you like? Praise God. Father, I thank you, Lord, today. For the grace and mercy of God have been brought to us. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. You know, everything he gave up for us. And we know how the grace of God has appeared unto us. Taught us these things. The grace of God has appeared unto us today, teaching us to understand the mercy of the Lord that endureth forever. Lord, we come before you today because you said, I know you by name. You said you chose us before the world began. You said, we didn't choose you, but you chose us. You said that, Lord. Now, therefore, Lord, if you have chosen us in you, and if we have found grace in your sight, teach us, Lord, to embrace this grace that we may understand the mercy of the Lord. And today, Lord, we cry for your mercy. Have mercy, Lord, unto me. Have mercy unto my household. Have mercy unto my brethren, my brothers and sisters that are on this line today and everyone else that will listen to this replay. Have mercy, O Lord, the thing that we are believing you for, which may have eluded us until now. Have mercy in Jesus' name. Thou son of David, remember the sure mercies of David, which is an everlasting covenant. Remember, Lord, how you said, though the mountains depart, the hills be removed, and all these things, yet my covenant of mercy, my covenant of peace, everlasting covenant, will never depart from you. Even the sure mercies of David, saith the Lord that had mercy on thee. Ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, I declare, let me freely declare unto you today the mercy of the Lord brought to you by his signature. The Lord that hath mercy on thee. And now, rejoice in the Lord, for that thing which you have waited for is now coming to pass. Because now you understand the mercy of the Lord. It's not because we have great faith. Great faith is great, and the Lord loves it. But even when that fails, turn to the mercy of the Lord. Praise God. Turn to the mercy of the Lord. That will never fail. He said it himself. It's an everlasting covenant. Everything else may depart. Hills may depart. But that will never depart. Sometimes your faith may fail. But the mercy of God will never fail. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for the revelation and the knowledge of it. I give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. As we embrace this grace, we embrace this mercy, and we instruct ourselves in this thing to understand the mercy of the Lord and to use it daily to get closer to you, to love you even more because of the mercy that you have bestowed on you, on us. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory. And I am the Lord that hath mercy upon thee. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.